opening hearing of submissions on the South and Water Name Plan, and the first person on our list for this afternoon is Barry Smith. Good afternoon and welcome. We've read your submission, so you don't need to reread that out to us, but you're very welcome to speak to it and highlight key points, and then we'll see if we have questions for you.
Thank you. I'd like to point out, first of all, that I am a little bit deaf, and if I appear not to pick up what you say, please don't be offended if I ask you to repeat it.
No, that's fine. Thank you.
First of all, I would actually like the councillors present to pass on my thanks to the staff from the Land Sustainability Area for actually going out and talking to farmers face to face. It can't have been easy. They'd have probably got it in the ear from everybody. And it would have affected them and probably their families who are after work as well too. So please let them know that at least I appreciated the effort in doing so. One point I would make in relation to my submission is to this measurement of slope. I don't have a university degree in mathematics, but I do have a certificate in engineering qualification in maths, which is basically Maths 201, and it is quite impossible to measure the angle of a slope. It is only possible to measure the tangent of an angle of a slope, and if you want to average it out, you're going to have to specify how you're going to do that. Are you going to measure the angle in every square meter or every 10 square meters or whatever, and that's how you get your average. So that's something that's written in the plan is actually unworkable as it is written. A lot has been said about the actual plan itself, and I don't think there's been a great deal said about the social implications. And the first thing is stress. And the farming industry has one of the highest rates of accidental deaths under the Health and Safety Act of practically any industry. And that's really, really awful. But what's even worse is that the suicide rate amongst rural people is even higher. And additional stress will put additional pressure on people. If you look at the financial implications, increased financial strain on rural people is one thing, and well, one thing's for sure is that the banks won't miss out on their investment. The net result will be the increase of sales of farms from family-owned businesses and an increase in purchases by corporate and or foreign owners. And the domino effect is the implementation of this plan will result in reduced production, and to be economically viable it will be necessary for food prices to increase in relation to that reduction. At the moment we have people in New Zealand who can't always afford to put food on the table at the moment, and this will make matters worse for those people. If prices do not go up, then farms will literally become uneconomical and will fail. Businesses which support farmers and businesses which support those businesses will be affected. The result will be higher unemployment and or lower wages. The minimum wage won't help people who employers can't afford to employ. If the plan is implemented the way it is written, then some people suffer severe loss. They will have nothing more to lose. And that is a very, very dangerous state to be in. I don't know anybody who is actually prepared for that, but is Environment Southland prepared for it? Unfortunately, we have had that incident in Ashburton where Work and Income got visited by somebody who was very, very angry, and it's not good. It's not a good look for anybody. And it affects families, brothers, sisters, mothers, fathers, children, the whole lot. It affects a heck of a lot. And one other thing I've sort of noted about submissions, they seem to be a bit short on solutions. And I would like to talk a little bit about one way I can see is getting clear of this area. And if you have a look at the map in front of you, you've got copies of the map in front of you, there's three areas marked. There's an area just south of Invercargill, or just in Otatara. That's Bushy Point Habitat Restoration Place there. Morris, you're quite familiar with that. The middle one is Erne Hill at Waimahaka. That's the place where I do most of my work. And right on the coast, in the Catlins, is the Tereri Yellow-Eyed Penguin Colony. And I've done a costing analysis of what it costs to actually put native plants in the ground. And I think that this is an achievable solution to planting riparian strips. It'll help improve water quality, it'll help aesthetics, it'll help even mental well-being of people on farms, because I don't know, Eric and Lloyd, if you've driven along your farm and you've got sheep in this paddock and you've got cows in this paddock, and that's fine, and then you come across an area of cabbage trees, and oh, that's quite nice, and it's just something to break up the monotony of what you're doing. So this actually has social benefits as well as environmental benefits. Do I have a remote control here, is this it?
Do you want to show?
Yeah, next slide, please. Yeah. As chairman of the Otatara Land Care Group and manager of the Bushy Point Habitat Restoration Project, I have kept very, very good records of what it actually costs in terms of time and effort to put plants in the ground and look after them for a period of about 3 years. And if you look at volunteer costs, it was based on $15 per hour in the year 2000, and that has been inflation adjusted. And we're looking at basically pretty close to $20 a plant, and that's in Invercargill. And if you take Tereri, that's another place that I have been perhaps less closely involved with, but I've been out there every year, probably bar two or three, for the last 15 years. And it is quite a difficult site to get to. And by the time you get out there, you're looking at something like $38 per plant in the ground looked after over a period of 3 years. And for us at Waimahaka, it's about $25, $26 per plant to get it established. And I believe this is actually achievable. And I'm putting in my own time and effort to plant in excess of 300 plants this year. And if that doesn't sound like much, then that is something like about 4 weeks' work. So it's quite significant. And these are the sort of things that we're prepared to do, we want to do. We want to see this water go, the water and quality improve. It's this water we feed to our stock. This has an immense positive value. Could we go to the next slide, please? For Otago and Southland, Frontier told us recently that there's something like 4,000 kilometres of waterways that have been fenced off in a riparian management area. And if you look at the 3 metre fencing, that's something like 2,400 hectares. And if we can achieve planting all this, we'd have planted something like 12 million plants, and there's enough work there to keep 100 people fully employed for 41 years. And if we average the distance of all farms from where you can source your labour or source your plants from, you're looking at a total cost of $310 million, which is not insignificant. And it seems like a lot, but I believe that this is achievable. Maybe not in the 40-year time span, but it's certainly a positive thing. So, but for this to occur, we need Environment Southland to work with us. And we need to work out how the best way to do it. It may be that we can actually bring the cost down in some ways, and I'm not sure, but time or consultation will tell that. So really, thank you, Mr. Commissioner. That's my submission.
Great, thank you very much. Let's see if we have questions for you, Lloyd.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yeah, it's interesting to see the cumulative totals of what people do individually on their farms. when you add it all together. But my question to you is, you made mention earlier on that it was very difficult to actually measure slope.
Yes.
In view of your comments, how would you actually perceive slope to be measured? And I'm thinking about, how does compliance go out and measure slope, or land sustainability start working with the farmer, or how does a farmer know about how to measure slope and actually have it recognised, this is a X degree slope with a couple of pinches on it? How do we actually do that in your view?
Do we really need to measure it? If there's no way out, basically, if I'm, to take the example, if I'm working a paddock, if there's no way out, I'm not going there. If it's a steep paddock, I've got to have somewhere to go if something happens. If it's a steep drop-off, there's just no way we're going there. So probably measurement of slope is in some degree irrelevant. And the other thing is too, if you actually have a look at manufacturers' guidelines for machinery and stuff, there's very, very few that actually mention the slope limitations of their machines. And contractors generally work on 35 degrees maximum, and they aren't working it sideways. But I will tell you that I have mowed paddocks, or topped them, shouldn't be mowing them because you wouldn't be baling them. I have topped paddocks in excess of 30 degrees. It doesn't really answer your question, does it?
Well, it does in some respects. So are you suggesting that we should be looking at other things other than slope around management of sloping ground or hill country cultivation? And what would that be in your view?
Well, I think cultivation has a positive impact on it. If you look at the fact that over the last 30 to 40 to 50, maybe even 60 years, you yourself will probably remember how many slopes were covered in gorse and how much gorse there was. And being able to work that effectively manages those slopes. And as an example, on my brother's farm, he got rid of a lot of gorse off steep slopes on one particular block. And we tidied up with weed spray. And in that first year, I used 2,500 litres of gorse spray on that particular block. Last year we used 30 litres of spray and 200 mils of a Vigilant gel, and that just cleared up everything that was there. And we walked around rather than having to take a tractor and haul hoses all over the slopes and things. So being able to work those slopes is a management tool that inhibits the growth of undesirable weeds.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Yeah, no questions, thank you.
Well, just see your point, if you won't go down the steep side if there's no way out at the bottom, then there's not the problem of sediment runoff because you're not cultivating that steep slope. But where there is run out at the bottom, you're talking about 20, 30, 40 metres. From the bottom of a steep slope where you've got manoeuvrability out of that.
If you're getting into steep slopes, you haven't got manoeuvrability to the same degree. If a steep slope, the steep slope thing is if I've got to have something flat at the bottom to run out, and it wouldn't be 30 metres, probably it would depend on the slope, and it would depend on the cover, probably 10 to 15 metres. I would have to be absolutely certain that I'm going to stop there. So I said to one guy one day who was really scared because I was on his tractor for the first time and he didn't know what I was going to do with it. And I said to him, John, if I'm going somewhere with your tractor, I'm coming back with it. And that machine represented something like a $200,000 investment to him. And this is, we've got to protect that investment as well as the investment on the farm.
Yeah, so the first point, we sort of, I think I understand that. Second thing, if you've got a run out point at the bottom, flat area, and you're cultivating a steep slope, what happens to the sediment runoff issue? How is that managed?
That's where your riparian strip comes in with your native vegetation and stuff. I've had a look at the fencing that we've got at the moment over this winter, and it hasn't been the wettest winter we've ever had. But those grass areas are still grass. They're not covered in sediment that has come down off the hill, you know, because of grazing. And I guess this is some ways too is in result of the way that it's now grazed, and that it's grazed from the top down, so that that sediment thing is actually taken care of. So
yeah, I was probably thinking more of the fact that you could do a steep slope. Is that still promote the problem of sediment runoff if you're doing 25 or more degrees? Have you struck that as a problem?
No, not really. You always, if you plant a paddock of young grass and you get a thunderstorm afterwards, you always get this. And if you talk to farmers, that is actually a loss of dollars. Not only in the loss of the planting that they've done, but also in the loss of nutrients from the soil. And I don't know a single farmer that really wants nutrients in the river. It doesn't do him financially any good.
That's right.
I hope losing, I've sort of
answered. Yes, he's losing his capital.
Yeah, thank you.
Morris, any further matters?
Thank you. just to elaborate on that a little bit more, you say in your submission that 3 metres is sufficient in all cases, if I understand, for a margin. But if you had a long slope and a steep slope, as Ed has been saying, what evidence do you have that that actually is effective and not the wider ones that are promoted in the plan, other than your observations that it's not covered in grass, which I in sediment, which I suggest is not particularly scientific?
You're absolutely right, Morris, and it's based solely on the farm that I was brought up on. And in that situation, I would say that the 3 metres is sufficient. But I would also say that there are places there, because of the way that the creek beds run, that we've actually got 7, 8, 9 metres fenced off. And look, thanks for asking that question, because there's actually places I've been on working where probably 30, 40, 50 metres is more appropriate, because it starts to slope and it just keeps going and it ends up in a very sudden stop at the bottom. And there's just no way you would technically, feasibly, or whatever, be able to work or do anything with those slopes. So in those cases, riparian fencing is probably 30 metres, 40 metres or whatever. Yeah, sorry, I probably didn't really think about that enough in my submission. But,
no, that's clarified that. Thanks. Yeah. That's good. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
And thank you, Mr. Smith. I have no further questions for you. Thank you very much for coming in.
Thank you.